So today we've come to the part in the narrative where Joseph is told in a dream by an angel to escape to Egypt. As I was going through this, it struck me just how weird that is. In fact, it struck me just how crazy the past few years for Mary and Joseph had been. They've been faced with the reality of raising the Son of God. Like, how do you even begin to process that? And then to add it, angelic encounters were becoming a recurring thing. They had strangers showing up wanting to meet their baby. Others wanted him dead. And now, angels tell them they've got a new house. But through all of it, Mary and Joseph listened and obeyed, no matter how impossible it may have seemed. They got up and they chose to trust God into the unknown. How does that sound to you? It's a bit scary, right? But hearing God's voice and obeying his voice is a huge part of what it means to be a Christian. To live in relationship with God and to know his will for our lives. Jesus modeled that for us. He says, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees the Father doing. Jesus listened and obeyed. For Jesus to only do what he sees the Father doing, there's got to be some line of communication, right? And that's what all of humanity is called into and offered, relationship with the Father through Jesus. Now, you don't get a lot out of relationships when you don't talk to each other, although me and Sam have got scolding looks and eye rolls down to a tee. There is more for us in communicating with God, though. So how do we go about having a conversation with God? Well, with an invisible God, who, if we saw him, our eyes would combust, this might sound a little bit difficult. But in this passage alone, we have three different ways of communicating, through dreams, angels, and through prophecy. But that seems like a bit of a big place to dive into, so let's start with something a bit more familiar. The main one, how Jesus taught us, is to pray, just to talk to God. And the prayer Jesus taught us starts in a really significant way. It starts with our Father, Abba. Abba means dad or papa. He says, you should call the maker of the universe dad. That is incredibly important when we begin to think how we're talking to God and why we're talking to God. Because he's calling you into the familiarity of family. Now, when I talk to my dad, most of the time, it's very informal. He doesn't expect me to treat him like some distant superstar or run about completing tasks for him as much as he would like me to. He's my dad, and he loves me, and he cares about me. And that's what Jesus is comparing our relationship with the Father to. No offense, Dad, God's parenthood is better because God's parenthood is perfect. It's so important that we know who we are as children of God because that means we can live in super close relationship with God and we can freely talk to him. And prayer is just that, having a chat, talking to you, Dad. So this is the foundation that we build our relationship from. Right, on to dreams and angels. I find it really interesting that God communicates with Joseph in dreams, where angels would deliver a message. And yet Mary and the shepherds had angelic encounters while they were awake. And then again, the Magi followed a star. God communicates with us all so differently. And again, I believe this is about relationship. God knows the best way to get through to us. So far, I've never had a dream from God or an angelic encounter. But God does communicate with me through visions or scripture or words of knowledge. But I also know plenty of people God speaks to through dreams and angels too. He can communicate through the beauty of creation, in family and in friendships, or speaking in tongues. There are endless ways God can and will communicate. It could be through watching paint dry that you have a really profound encounter. I don't know. The point is, he will and he wants to talk to you if you give him the opportunity. Which again was something that Jesus modeled in Matthew 26. He says to the disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. Jesus intentionally made space to hear the Father's voice, to be in his presence and wait on him. And as I've said, and I will keep on saying, it's all about relationship. It's a two-way thing. God isn't going to force us to talk to him. He's your dad. He wants you to choose him. He wants you to get to know him, to prioritize him, and build a relationship with him. Other ways God talks to us, prophecy. which is a prediction of something happening before it happens, and is a major part of this passage. God's been teaching me a little bit about prophecy over the last few years. So around the start of the year, he'll give me a word or a sentence that will be for that year. So in 2018, the words I had were deeper and more. I found myself constantly praying and asking God for him to show me more visions, more healing, more miracles, and to really dive into the depths of who he is. For 2019, the words were community, stability, and friendships. And I found this year I've been surrounded by an amazing group of friends in Chester, which is really awesome. And I believe over 2020, God is saying to lay foundations, but it also becomes clearer for me over the years, so if you'll find out. So I encourage you to ask God what your year's going to look like. What does he want to speak over you for the year ahead? So this passage is especially rich in prophecy. The first prophecy is the escape to Egypt, where Matthew refers to a verse in Hosea. Matthew says, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for a child to kill me. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where they stayed until the death of Herod. Joseph's radical obedience here is so impressive. To have heard the Lord and acted during the same night he was told, that's incredible. And so that fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, Hosea. Out of Egypt I called my son. And what's really cool about this passage is that Matthew isn't just pointing out that Jesus' detour to Egypt he predicted, but that Jesus, in some significant sense, embodies the people of Israel. He is the recipient, bearer, and fulfillment of the promises made to Israel by God. The next prophecy is in verses 16 to 17, which says, when Herod realized that he'd been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity, who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. Matthew points to the specific verse for us in Jeremiah, where he predicts the pain of those losing children after Herod's horrific genocide. And we could also parallel that with Pharaoh in Exodus, and as both Moses and Jesus are born under the threat of death, both are guided by God's protective hand. And then the last prophecy fulfilled was that Jesus would be called a Nazarene. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel. So they took the child to Israel. But when he heard of Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee in Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, he would be called a Nazarene. Jesus fulfilled over 300 prophecies just like these. Isn't that astounding? This whole passage in the natural seems impossible. But God is saying, look at who I am. Look at what I can do. I can tell you what's going to happen hundreds of years prior. I can give you dreams. I can call my angels to deliver messages to you. I am. I'm the God of the impossible, and I'm your dad. It doesn't make sense, does it? So after Mary and Joseph had had encounters with angels with life-changing requests, God didn't just tell them what to do and let them get on with it. He walked with them because he's in relationship with them. He gave them signs and he guided them. After Mary's first faith jump of saying yes to God, God's faithful to them was shown time and time again. This built up trust in them to keep on saying yes. Mary and Joseph had become familiar with the God who can speak into and transform their circumstances. So they listened and obeyed. Isn't that the place we want to be living from? The entire Bible is full of what God has done. I really believe this calls us to raise our expectations because it shows us who our God is, who our dad is. It calls us to kick up the box that we are insistent on shoving him in and dig into the relationship that's on offer. to trust and obey with everything that's within us. Now, I am the first to admit that it's not always easy, and I can often forget who God is and who I am. I give in to the lies and let the world take over. Sometimes when I really, really like God's input on something, he seems to be so quiet. And other times when I probably don't want his input, he's a bit louder. But I thought I'd share with you my very simple way of practically what I do to speak to God. I've done this before here once, so I'm sorry if I've done this already. And what I find helpful, you might not at all, and that's totally fine. Because there isn't some kind of magic formula. It's your relationship, and you're responsible for that. There isn't a holiness level or a faith level you've got to reach to hear God at all. There's a lie that says, God won't speak to me because I'm not this or I'm not that. But the truth is, it's not about us. It's not about you. And I know that hurt my pride when I found out that too. All we can do is say, yes, God. Because nobody is good enough or anything enough to deserve to speak to God. But Jesus gave everything so that we could be in relationship with God. It's the purpose of this entire story. The angels, the dreams, the prophecies, the star. This is not something to waste, believing that God doesn't want to talk to you, because he gave it all just to be with you. So that's that libel. The next disclaimer I'm going to give is, I often hear, I didn't feel anything, or he doesn't love me. And again, another huge lie. If you don't feel anything or hear anything, that's okay. Again, it can be disappointing. But as I've mentioned before, God speaks to all of us differently. I've heard people say, I don't get those visions or dreams or prophecy. I just get words from people, or God will point someone out. That's also God. That's also just as important as all the other things. Most of the time, God communicates. When God communicates, it will feel normal and natural, because it is. He made the normal and the natural. So just make sure you're paying attention to that still small voice. And my final disclaimer is, if you think it might be God but you're not sure, ask yourself, does it sound like God? Is it in line with his nature? And is it scriptural? Or ask Ben and he'll help you discern. So usually I'd be lying on my bed, but that's not very practical here. So I'm going to ask you to stand up if you're happy to. It's fine if you've got enough, that's fine too. The next step, we're just going to hold our hands out in front of us like we're receiving a gift. This isn't anything special, it's just an act of saying, God, I'm open, I want to receive you. And then all you have to do next, in your hearts, out loud, or under your breath, we're just going to say, Abba, come. I give you my yes. I give you permission. I want to encounter you afresh today. Abba, would you come? Thank you, Lord. You are so welcome in this place. Thank you, Lord. We bless what you're doing, Jesus. Lord, thank you for the work that you've begun in our hearts today. We ask for more of you. And we thank you that you complete your work. Would you seal in us what you've done this morning? lead us into more encounters with you. In Jesus' name.